Weather. This album contains 14 titles. They are Air Masses and Fronts, Atmosphere, Clouds, Fog, High Altitude Weather, Icing, Microbursts, Moisture and Precipitation, Stable and Unstable Air, Temperature, Thunderstorms, Turbulence, Wind, and Wind Shear. Air Masses and Fronts. When a body of air or air mass that has fairly uniform properties of temperature and moisture either comes to rest or moves slowly over a large geographical area, the air mass acquires the temperature and moisture properties of that area it covers. Characteristics of unstable air masses include cumuliform clouds, showery precipitation, rough turbulent air, and good visibility, except in blowing obstructions. Characteristics of stable air masses include stratiform clouds and fog, continuous precipitation, smooth air, and fair to poor visibility in haze and smoke. As air masses move out of their source regions, they come in contact with other air masses having different properties. The zone between two different air masses is called a frontal zone, or front. Across this zone, temperature, humidity, and wind often change rapidly over short distances. The three principal types of fronts are cold front, warm front, and stationary front. Frontal waves and cyclones, which are areas of low pressure, usually form on slow-moving cold fronts or stationary fronts. Atmosphere. We classify the atmosphere into layers or spheres, and by the characteristics exhibited in these layers. The troposphere is the layer from the surface to an average altitude of about 7 miles or 37,000 feet. The troposphere is characterized by an overall decrease of temperature with increasing altitude. The height of the troposphere varies with latitude and season. The troposphere is higher in summer than in winter, and it slopes from about 65,000 feet over the equator to about 20,000 feet over the poles. The top of the troposphere is called the tropopause. The tropopause is a very thin layer marking the boundary between the troposphere and the layer above. The tropopause is characterized by an abrupt change in the temperature lapse rate. The stratosphere is above the tropopause. Except for a warming trend near the top, the stratosphere layer is characterized by relatively small changes in temperature with height. Clouds. Cloud types are divided into four families according to their height range. They are low clouds, middle clouds, high clouds, and clouds with extensive vertical development. The first three families are further classified according to the way they are formed. The high cloud family is cirriform and includes cirrus, cirrocumulus, and cirrostratus. Cirriform clouds are composed almost entirely of ice crystals. Clouds formed by vertical currents and unstable air are cumulus, meaning accumulation or heap. Cumulus clouds are characterized by their lumpy, billowy appearance. Clouds formed by the cooling of a stable layer of air are stratus, meaning stratified or layered. Stratiform clouds are characterized by their uniform, sheet-like appearance. In addition to the clouds just described, the prefix nimbo or the suffix nimbus means rain cloud, and is sometimes added to the cloud name. A heavy, swelling, cumulus-type cloud which produces precipitation is cumulonimbus. Lenticular clouds are associated with a mountain wave. Crests of standing mountain waves may be marked by stationary, lens-shaped clouds known as standing lenticular clouds. Mountain waves and lenticular clouds indicate strong turbulence. Fog. Fog is a surface-based cloud composed of either water droplets or ice crystals. Fog is the most frequent cause of surface visibility below 3 miles and is one of the most common and persistent weather hazards encountered in aviation. Fog may form by cooling the air to its dew point or by adding moisture to air near the ground. A small temperature dew point spread is essential to the formation of fog. An abundance of condensation nuclei from combustion products makes fog prevalent in industrial areas. Fog is classified by the way it is formed. Advection fog or sea fog is formed when warm, moist air moves over colder ground or water. An example is an air mass moving inland from the coast in winter. Wind is necessary in order for advection fog to form. Radiation fog or ground fog is formed when terrestrial radiation cools the ground, which in turn cools the air in contact with it. When the air is cooled to within a few degrees of its dew point, fog will form. This fog will form most readily in warm, moist air over low flatland areas on clear, calm nights. Upslope fog is formed when moist, stable air is cooled to its dew point as it moves up sloping terrain. Cooling will be at the dry adiabatic lapse rate of approximately 3 degrees Celsius per 1,000 feet. Like advection fog, wind is required in order for upslope fog to form. High-altitude weather. The jet stream is a river of high-speed winds of 50 knots or more and associated with the tropopause. The location of the jet stream changes seasonally. In the winter, the jet stream moves south and increases in velocity. During the summer, the jet stream moves north and slows. Icing. Structural icing occurs on aircraft whenever supercooled condensed droplets of water make contact with any part of the aircraft that is also at a temperature below freezing. An in-flight condition necessary for structural icing is visible moisture in the form of clouds or raindrops. Aircraft structural ice will most likely have the highest accumulation in freezing rain. An operational consideration if you fly into rain which freezes on impact is that temperatures are above freezing at some higher altitudes. As the rain falls through air which is below freezing, its temperature begins to fall below freezing, yet without freezing solid. The process requires the temperature of the rain to be above freezing before it becomes supercooled. Frost is described as ice deposits formed by sublimation on a surface when the temperature of the collecting surface is at or below the dew point of the adjacent air, and the dew point is below freezing. Frost causes early airflow separation, resulting in a loss of lift. Therefore, all frost should be removed from the lifting surfaces of an airplane before flight, or its presence may prevent the airplane from becoming airborne. Test data indicate that ice, snow, or frost formations having a thickness and surface roughness similar to medium or coarse sandpaper on the leading edge and upper surface of a wing can reduce wing lift by as much as 30% and increase drag by 40%. Microbursts. Microbursts are small-scale, intense downdrafts, which, as they get near the ground, spread outward from the center in all directions. Maximum downdrafts at the center of a microburst may be as strong as 6,000 feet per minute. As your aircraft approaches, encounters, and exits a microburst, you will experience a sudden increase in performance due to a headwind followed by a strong downdraft at the microburst center, and then a severe loss of performance as the downdraft becomes a sudden tailwind. Since the initial headwind may be 45 knots, and the tailwind also 45 knots, the total wind shear passing across the microburst would be 90 knots. An individual microburst will seldom last longer than 15 minutes from the time it strikes the ground until dissipation. The horizontal winds continue to increase during the first 5 minutes, with the maximum intensity winds lasting approximately 2 to 4 minutes. Moisture and precipitation. Air contains moisture or water vapor. The amount of water vapor in the air can be expressed in two different ways, relative humidity and dew point. Relative humidity is the relationship between the actual content of water vapor present in the air to the amount which could be present. Temperature largely determines the maximum amount of water vapor the air can hold. Warm air can hold more water vapor than cold air. Air with 100% relative humidity is said to be saturated, and air with less than 100% relative humidity is referred to as unsaturated. Dew point is the temperature to which air must be cooled to become saturated by the water already present in the air. When water vapor condenses on large objects, such as leaves, windshields, or on the surfaces of airplanes, it will form dew. When water vapor condenses on microscopic particles, such as salt, dust, or combustion byproducts or condensation nuclei, it forms clouds or fog. If the temperature and dew point spread is small and decreasing, condensation is about to occur. If the temperature is above freezing, fog or low clouds will most likely develop. The growth rate of precipitation is enhanced by upward air currents. Cloud particles collide and merge water vapor into larger and larger drops as the growth process accelerates. This produces larger and heavier precipitation particles and does so more rapidly than the simple condensation growth process. Upward currents also support larger water drops. It is possible for water droplets to remain in a liquid state in temperatures below freezing. Such droplets are referred to as supercooled. Rain falling through colder air may become supercooled, freezing on impact as freezing rain, or it may freeze during its descent, falling as ice pellets. The presence of ice pellets at the surface is evidence that there is freezing rain at a higher altitude. If wet snow is encountered at your flight altitude, then the temperature is above freezing at your altitude. Since wet or melting snow has been encountered, the freezing level must be at a higher altitude. Stable and unstable air. Atmospheric stability is defined as the resistance of the atmosphere to vertical motion. A stable atmosphere resists any upward or downward movement. An unstable atmosphere allows an upward or downward disturbance to grow into what is called a vertical or convective current. Characteristics of unstable air are cumuliform clouds, showery precipitation, rough air, turbulence, and good visibility, except in blowing obstructions. Characteristics of stable air are stratiform clouds and fog, continuous precipitation, smooth air, and fair to poor visibility in haze and smoke. Determining the stability of the atmosphere requires measuring the difference between the actual or ambient temperature lapse rate of a given parcel of air and the dry adiabatic lapse rate equal to 3 degrees Celsius per 1,000 feet. Temperature. The major source of all weather is the energy radiated by the sun. Weather patterns and changes to weather patterns are caused by the unequal heating of the Earth's surface. Both temperatures at the surface and aloft are measured in degrees Celsius. Standard temperature at sea level is 15 degrees Celsius. To calculate International Standard Atmosphere, or ISA, use the average lapse rate of 2 degrees Celsius per 1,000 feet. Thunderstorms. A thunderstorm is a local storm produced by a cumulonimbus cloud. It is always accompanied by lightning and thunder, usually with strong gusts of wind, heavy rain, and sometimes with hail. Three conditions are necessary for the formation of a thunderstorm. They are sufficient water vapor, an unstable lapse rate, and an initial upward boost or lifting. The initial upward lifting can be caused by heating from below, by frontal lifting, or by mechanical lifting, such as wind blowing air upslope on a mountain. Thunderstorms have three stages: the cumulus stage, the mature stage, and the dissipating stage. The cumulus stage is characterized by continuous updrafts, and these updrafts create areas of low pressure. The mature stage is characterized by updrafts and downdrafts inside the cloud. Precipitation inside the cloud aids in the development of downdrafts, and the start of rain from the base of the cloud signals the beginning of the mature stage. Thunderstorms reach their greatest intensity during the mature stage. The dissipating stage is characterized predominantly by downdrafts. Thunderstorms that generally produce the most intense hazard to aircraft are called squall line thunderstorms. These non-frontal narrow bands of thunderstorms often develop ahead of a cold front. Embedded thunderstorms are those that are obscured by massive cloud layers and cannot be seen. Turbulence. If severe turbulence is encountered either inside or outside of clouds, your airspeed should be reduced to maneuvering speed, and you should attempt to maintain a level flight attitude. The reason for attempting to maintain a level flight attitude is because the amount of excess load that can be imposed on the wing will be decreased. An attempt to maintain a constant altitude will greatly increase the stresses that are applied to the aircraft. Wind. Five rules for how wind behaves in the Northern Hemisphere are: 1. a clockwise circulation around a high-pressure system, 2, a counterclockwise circulation around a low-pressure system, 3, the closer the isobars are, the stronger the wind speed, 4, due to surface friction up to about 2,000 feet AGL, surface winds do not parallel the isobars exactly, but instead move outward from the center of the higher pressure toward the lower pressure. 5. Coriolis force is at a right angle to wind direction and directionally proportional to wind speed. Coriolis force deflects air to the right in the northern hemisphere. Wind shear. Wind shear is defined as a change in wind direction and or speed in a very short distance. Wind shear can occur at any level of the atmosphere and can be detected as a sudden change in airspeed. Low-level or low-altitude wind shear can be expected during strong temperature inversions on all sides of a thunderstorm and directly below the cell. Low-level wind shear can also be found near frontal activity because winds can be significantly different in the two air masses which meet to form the front. In warm front conditions, the most critical period is before the front passes your location. Warm front shear may exist below 5,000 feet for about 6 hours before surface passage of the front. The wind shear associated with a warm front is usually more extreme than that found in cold fronts. The shear associated with cold fronts is usually found behind the front. If the cold front is moving at 30 knots or more, the shear zone will be 5,000 feet above the surface 3 hours after frontal passage. There are two potentially hazardous wind shear situations, loss of tailwind and loss of headwind. Loss of tailwind. A tailwind may shear to either a calm or to a headwind component. In this instance, initially your airspeed increases, your aircraft pitches up, and your altitude increases. Lower than normal power would be required initially, followed by a further decrease as the shear is encountered, and then an increase as glide slope is regained. Loss of headwind. A headwind may shear to either a calm or to a tailwind component. Initially, your airspeed decreases, the aircraft pitches down, and altitude decreases.